All right, well, we'll get started tonight. Hopefully, I explained this last week. Maybe, maybe not. I know I told our trainers that we won't be going out tonight. Okay, but we'll go out every other night, Lord willing, you know, if the weather's in good enough condition. We'll go out and we'll share. We'll do that on the front end. So try your best if you can to be here at 6:30. And maybe I'll stick back if there's anybody that's late and they could go out in my, on my team. But we'll go out at 6:30 and then we'll come back by 7:30. And the goal, and that's not long, so I apologize for that, but the goal is to have one meaningful conversation. And you can do that anywhere. You could go to apartment complex, McDonald's. Jim, you've been down to McDonald's several times, haven't you? You have to. We went to the summit, in the summer, and that was good. UAB is great. It's a great place to interact with students. But, you know, wherever you feel led as far as the trainers are concerned. So let me introduce our trainers that are here. Bob McPherson is here. He's done it since... When? What, the 1980, okay. For a long, long time. So he's our veteran. Let's see. Jeff Hester here is going to be one of our trainers. And then Jeff Milligan is also going to be one of our trainers. Kevin Gush is going to be one of our trainers. Dave Giddens as well is going to be one of our trainers. Jim Intrican. And I think that's it for this side. And we've got Allison Haynes, who's not here with us, Hayes, who's not here with us. Frank Spear, hopefully, will also serve as one of our trainers. And maybe Glenn Draper, I'm not sure on Glenn. So, as long as I get everybody's name on the list, then we can try to strategically match everyone in groups of three. We may have a group of four or a group of, you know, we won't do a group of two, but we'll get it worked out. Each week so that we can send out the teams. Like I said, we'll have an hour to try to have that meaningful conversation with someone or a group of people. And then when we come back, I'm going to have us a sheet that'll allow you to say how the visit went, okay? Instead of us sharing about that, I know that's always been such a wonderful time. I just don't trust us. I think that'll take up a good hour. So we'll put it on the sheet, and I may just read it from the front. We're attempting this new schedule in order to keep this to an hour and a half. So hopefully it'll work for us, Lord willing. But I think it's going to be a great strategy. And also, by going out at 6:30, that'll get us back here before it's too late and too dark. Does that sound good? Okay, so we'll do that next week, and... We'll organize the groups outside of class and then have y'all ready to go. If you're uncomfortable with going out, don't be, because our trainers initially will do pretty much everything. And then as you feel comfortable and as the Spirit leads you, you can enter into those conversations. Something we always want to make sure that we do is be praying. You know, if there's one person speaking, the other two should be praying for the interaction. That's critical. You know, prayer is critical, and we'll actually have a whole lesson on prayer and encouragement to be praying for what we're doing each week as we go out. So thankful for our group. I've noticed some other people coming in, so I'm kind of dragging my feet a little bit. But we'll pray here in just a minute and get started. Everybody has a notebook so far? Hopefully? Good, good. And then just make sure we send around the sign-up sheet. Okay? All right. I'll wait for Al to get in and we'll pray. All right. Come on in, Al. Grab you a notebook if you would. And a chair if you like, if you want to sit in the back there. All right. Well, let me pray for us and we'll get started. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to be those that go out and share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Lord, what an honor, what a privilege what a blessing, Lord, that is. God, you've chosen us to do that. You could have done it in any myriad of ways, but you chose men and women to do that. And so I praise you and thank you for that. And God, I pray that we would be faithful, that you would encourage us, that you would strengthen us, that you would give us a boldness, Lord, to go out. Not in our strength, Lord. We know it's not about us. It's about you and your glory. So we pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would empower us and strengthen us. Give us the words to say, Lord. Give us divine appointments. We would ask, Lord, that you would give us those divine appointments that you've really set up for us for such a time as this, Lord, and that folks would receive Christ as Lord and Savior, that some would hear for the first time the gospel, that some would be encouraged in their faith, that some would hear maybe for the second time. Lord, I don't know how many times it is in your plan that somebody needs to hear this good news before they surrender to Christ. But I'm thankful that you do, and you've got it numbered, and that you will send out us to do that. So, Lord, what a privilege. Please bless us tonight as we talk about the bridge to life. This is just another tool to have in our toolbox to be able to share our faith. So bless our time. Thank you again so much for each and everyone that's here. Lord, I pray that we would make a commitment for the next 9 weeks after tonight, that it would be just fruitful time, Lord, that we would see you move and work in a powerful way. And Lord, we love you. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't even know. Is this on at all? Can y'all? It's barely on, though, isn't it? Okay. I might turn it up a little bit. Not that I want to be loud, but. Let's see. Ooh, that's too loud. Okay. I might have made that too loud. All right. Okay, so is that too loud? It's real touchy how you do it there. This is great. Praise the Lord. We're so excited. Obviously, Briarwood is a place where evangelism and making disciples is the highest priority. It's certainly in our mission statement. For God's glory, Briarwood is committed to equipping Christians to worship God in order to reach Birmingham, to reach the world for Christ. And so that's our mission. And I can stand before you guys and just say tonight I'm a byproduct of that mission. I grew up in Homewood, went to Homewood High School, but did not grow up in a Christian home. We didn't go to church at all, really, when I was growing up. There's a little bit of a Catholic influence from my mom's side, but we didn't go to church. And a ministry called Student Stampede that Briarwood had sent into local high schools had a huge impact on my life. And I really came to know the Lord through that ministry. And lo and behold, several years later after I graduated high school and college, came back on staff and been here ever since. Got trained by Dr. Barker, as probably most all of y'all did, back in the days of EE. And remember, we were in this room when we did it, in fact. And so, it's such a wonderful ministry, our evangelism ministry here. And we're just praying that God will continue to bless it and cause us to continue to be faithful to share this good news. Because we need it now, it seems like, more than ever. So hopefully everybody got a notebook. If you haven't, grab you one. If somebody needs one around, we'll pass it around. And just know, in those notebooks, they're not full yet. And we'll have a lot more to add to them. But today, our first night, you have the information in there for the first night. Okay? Myself, I'm Eric Riebels, pastor of discipleship and evangelism here. Also, Olin Stubbs will be my counterpart. So he'll come teach, but he'll do that in a few weeks because he's not available for a few weeks. But he'll come and he'll teach as well. So it'll be myself and Olin Stubbs. Okay? But tonight, we're going to look at the bridge to life. And I must have hit something. So we'll look at the bridge to life. And has most everybody gone through this training before at some point? No? Good. I love to see that. Some head shaking in the negative. Praise the Lord. Our goal when I came on staff in this position, which was David Camara, was in my role before me. I think y'all may remember him. But so it's been 13 years now. And when David was leaving, we began to do the ministry of Bridge to Life. And the goal back then was to have everybody in the church go through the training and learn this very easy way to share your faith. And we like to say it's highly transferable. So literally, you could sit down with someone, take them through the Bridge to Life training, and then they could really feel comfortable to do it themselves if they could learn the verse, one verse. So it's a lot different than Evangelism Explosion. How many of y'all did EE? So a lot of us did EE. I also did Youth Evangelism Explosion. For a while, we had about 40 kids that participated in that. It was wonderful. Come on, Barney. Hey, make sure you grab you a notebook if you would. And Barney also is going to be one of our trainers. So praise the Lord. But that's what we're looking at tonight is Bridge to Life. And I'll explain to you just a little bit about how we came up with this. And we did not come up with this. But you know what? Everything is warmed over in a sense. There's nothing new under the sun, right? But what we did years ago is we took two things that the navigators were really involved in, and that was a Bridge to Life diagram, and they had a one-verse evangelism. And we morphed those two together, and we've come up with this Bridge to Life where we use the one verse, Romans 6:23, and the bridge diagram to help explain to people using that diagram. Okay? Any questions so far about anything I've said? And again, please make sure we're passing around the little roll sheet so we can make sure that we get the right information. Yep.
Yes, sir. On YouTube, type in Bridge to Life, you will see the different versions of it.
Oh, cool. I've never done that.
Yeah.
That's great.
And at least one other one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, there's tons. People have been using this for a long time. Usually you'll see the diagram, bridge diagram, and explain the gospel, but people will use multiple verses. So I think ours is not unique, but somewhat unique in the sense that we try to use the one verse, and we try to keep it really simple. Okay? So let me do this before we get started using the PowerPoint. If you would, grab this out of your notebook, and hopefully you have a pen. If you don't, that's okay. Not critical. But is there anything that you notice right away as you open it? It's kind of spastic, isn't it? it's done that way on purpose, believe it or not, and I had nothing to do with it, so I can't take credit. But you open it up this way in order to have this little napkin here for you the whole time. Etsy, grab yourself a notebook if you would. And, yeah, you're good. We're just getting started. And make sure we pass that around, if y'all would, the note sheet. Come on up. You want to sit up front right here? Be the teacher's pet. All right. So we're looking at, when you open it, we're looking at this little trifold for our Bridge to Life presentation. And we're noting the fact that it opens weird. And that's on purpose. On purpose. So, and that it keeps the napkin open to you the whole time. And so if you were going through this training, you could draw out the bridge presentation there on the napkin. And I would encourage you guys to do that, if you would. I think that would help you, to learn this a little bit better. Okay? So and this is the first section that we go to. And then as you open it, the second section and the third section. So it's done on purpose. But that's the trifold that we'll be using tonight. This is not something that you get and use for evangelism, like going out with folks and you say, hey, let me take you through the Bridge to Life. No, this is for training people to learn how to use the Bridge to Life, okay? And if you guys ever want to do that and you want to utilize this or the PowerPoint, let me know. Happy to give it to you. We just want folks sharing their faith, right? And we want to help empower them to be able to do that. So that's what this is. If you've got a pen, like I said, use it and fill it out. But we're going to go through it and hopefully fill in all the blanks. Has anybody ever shared Bridge to Life on an actual napkin? I have. Anybody else? Surely y'all have. Somebody else. I know Jim has. It was actually really good. It was when we first started to do the Bridge to Life training, and there was somebody that had a friend that was staying with them over the holidays. It was a college student, and he wanted to share his faith with his friend, and so we schemed. Okay, I'm not sure if that's dishonest or what, but we schemed, and we said, well, let's go to lunch, and I'll teach you how we do the Bridge to Life evangelism training, and he'll be sitting right there hearing it the whole time. And so that's exactly what we did. And I used a napkin there at the restaurant, and we went through the Bridge to Life. And here's the neat thing. Not only did he hear, my friend learn how to use the Bridge to Life, and his roommate heard the gospel, but there were people sitting right next to us that actually stopped me afterwards and said, hey, that was really great. You know, I'd like to learn more about that. So, you know, it's cool to use a napkin sometimes if you can, to do the training and to get everybody in the restaurant involved, okay? All right, so y'all stop me if there's anything that we need to talk through or go over or stop and pause on. I'm happy to do that. Just want to make sure that everybody feels comfortable with this. And y'all, this is something that we want you to practice, you know, and that'll be one of the homework assignments, okay? One of the homework assignments will be to do this with someone. You know, it could be with a spouse, it could be with a child, whatever. Better yet, it could be with somebody that doesn't know the Lord. And you say, hey, I'm taking this class at my church on how to tell people about what I believe. Would it be okay if I went through this short presentation with you? I'm sure they're going to say, absolutely, please. And then you have the opportunity to actually share your faith with them. So that could be very cool and a good way to enter in. All right, so this is it. Bridge to Life. Why is this a good version, a good way to share your faith? Because you just use this one verse. And as you'll see, when we write it out, we'll put the verse at the top of the page. And you just have a cheat sheet the whole time. If you can remember that one verse, and if you can write it out, you can always go back to it to help you to get through the presentation. Okay? Now, I wanted to... We'll look at our notebooks, and if you'll turn, and I'm going to flash them up here on the screen, but so you don't feel like you have to write them all down, here are some ways to lead yourself and whoever you're speaking with into a conversation with the Bridge to Life. So look at the sheet there where it says conversation starters, okay? And let's see if this works. Okay, so... we'll get to that in 1 second, but this is our verse, okay? So if you can memorize this, you're good to go. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord, okay? If you remember that verse. And you'll notice it's written out on 3 lines. That's exactly how we want to write it at the top of the napkin or the top of the sheet. That's how you want to write it out as you go back and reference it as you're going through the presentation. So here's some of the conversation starters. Like I said, you already have it written out. You know, do you believe in heaven? How do you think a person gets there? Just a simple question that you can ask somebody. Benny Parks teaches a men's Bible study on Friday mornings, and he gave us all the challenge 1 week to ask somebody that question. And Benny took it a step further. He said, and don't answer or don't go any further with it. So he kind of hamstrung us. In the sense that we were just supposed to ask this question and leave it up to the person to ask a follow-up question or just leave it at that. Maybe you have another opportunity later to talk to them more about Christ. But that's one question you can ask and then you transition in. Can I share with you one verse from the Bible that explains how, okay, someone gets to heaven? Second one here is, do you know for certain that if you died today that you would go to heaven? Everybody will recognize this from Evangelism Explosion if you've done that before, because that's one of the diagnostic questions, right? So do you know for certain if you died today that you would go to heaven? Can I share with you one verse from the Bible that explains how? In Youth Evangelism Explosion, we used to say, do you know for sure if you died you'd go to heaven? And we certainly hope that wouldn't happen to you, but we're trying to be real diplomatic in that. All right, another conversation starter, if you were standing before God and he were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven, what would you say? Okay, and so those first two questions, the one before, And this one are the two diagnostic questions from Evangelism Explosion, and we're using them here. The first one, people can lie on. I've seen it happen a ton of times. And quite frankly, you'll probably notice that when we go out. People say, yeah, I know for sure, absolutely. And then you ask them this one, you know, okay, that's great, praise the Lord. So what are you trusting in? Like how? And that's when people really begin to struggle. And I'll even say, I'll take a time out here and just say this. Sometimes that means that they're not truly a follower of Christ, but sometimes that just means that they have difficulty expressing it. And as you begin to flesh it out with them, you see that, right? I've seen that happen a lot of times. But this is a great, great question, probably my favorite of the two diagnostic questions, to help to get to the heart of the matter of what are people trusting in as far as having a relationship with God and knowing for sure that they'll spend eternity in heaven. Okay? And here's another one. On a scale of 1 to 10, how fulfilled would you say your life is? Well, man, it's an 8. I'd say my life's an 8. Great. Well, what would make it a 9 or a 10? Would it change in either direction if God were in your life? Just some probing questions to get people to consider God and a relationship with God. Can I share with you one verse in the Bible that explains how? And then this is probably my favorite one, because people that don't have a relationship with God, haven't read the Bible, they're curious. Heck, I'm curious about the Quran. I haven't read all of it. I've read some of it. They're curious about the Bible. And you're to tell them that, hey, many people think the Bible is a confusing book. I found one simple verse that summarizes the whole message of the Bible. Would you be interested? Of course they're going to be interested, you know. And I've asked this a number of times, and most of the time people say, absolutely, yeah, I'd love to understand that or know that. Alright, so you've got those in your notebook for later to utilize. Alright, so now we're in the trifold. Let me stop there and say, are there any questions? Or how about this? Are there any conversation starters that you've used in order to get into a conversation around the Lord and around the gospel? Anyone's? That's great. Yeah. I love it. That's awesome. How about you, Ken? Is that what you do? Hey, man, turn or burn. Anybody else have a valid conversation story? Just kidding. Hey, come over here. Let me share something with you.
I like to do the survey.
I do too.
That kind of brings anybody to take a brief release.
It's a questionnaire.
Yeah, a questionnaire.
I call it a survey. It's not the data's not right.
It's not recorded. That's right. So that's one thing we'll use in this group, and we tend to use each time we go out. I love to use it as well. It's probably my favorite one because I think it sets people at ease because they think there's an agenda to the conversation in a sense, and so they're more comfortable with that. So what we'll do is we have something called a religious questionnaire that we'll ask them, and so we may be down at UAB and say, you know, excuse me, ma'am, excuse me, sir. We're doing a religious questionnaire. We're from Briarwood Presbyterian Church. Would you mind if we took a minute to ask you a couple of questions? And rarely do people say no. I mean, occasionally people will be late to a class or I've got a study session. And, of course, we're like, absolutely, no worries, thank you. But often, most often, people will say, yeah, I've got a couple minutes. And we'll ask them these survey questions, which a lot of very similar to our conversation starters, to get to the heart of what they're trusting in. And then we'll transition over to that into, you know, how they can know for sure if they died, they'd spend eternity with God in heaven. So love the questionnaire as well. So we've got lots of different ways that you can do it. And, you know, whatever way you feel most comfortable with, I think is the best way to do it. So, all right, so back to the bridge to life. In our trifold here. But a couple of things as far as an overview before we get started. There's really 11 key words in this verse that we try to emphasize. And we try to have one question and one illustration per word. But we notated over the years of doing this that except for God. Because what happens when we first started to do this, we would ask people, we say, well, what do you think God is? Or who do you think God is? And you get some crazy answers, okay? And we realize that's not, rabbit hole. That's not one that we want to go down. And so we stopped asking on the word God. We stopped asking people who or what they think God is. But why do we ask a question, and why do we give an illustration? Obviously, we ask a question because we don't want this just to be a monologue. Evangelism Explosion is a tremendous ministry. It's a wonderful presentation. It takes a lot longer. It's about 30 to 40 minutes. But it's really a monologue. You're really just sharing with them the whole time. But with Bridge to Life, we want to interact with people. We want to get them to share their thoughts with us. And we want to, if we can, to the best of our ability, we want to weave in their answers to our presentation, okay? And so that's one of the reasons why we ask them the questions. And of course, the illustration is to help drive the points home. But I will say this, as far as the illustrations are concerned, you use the one that you feel most comfortable with, okay? This is not something where it's very rigid. If you've got a better way to illustrate the point, then use it, because that's what you're going to feel most comfortable with, okay? And then, like I'd already said, try to use their explanation or their answers. All right, so here's the first one. You'll notice here, we've written out at the top of the napkin the verse, right? For the wages of sin is death. And then you go to the next line. But the gift of God, or the free gift of God, is eternal life. Next line, in Christ Jesus our Lord. Right? And after you write that out, you begin to ask them these questions. And the first question is this: how would you define the word wages? And at that point, that's where you're drawing a box around the word wages up in the verse, and then you're coming down on the left side and you're writing the word wages out, and you're drawing a box, you're connecting the two, okay? And you ask them that question: how do you define the term wages? All right, anybody want to step up and answer that? How do you define the term wages, or the word wages?
Earned.
Something you've earned. Yeah, you do work. Yeah.
Because they're trying to figure out what you want it, but, you know,
what you want them to say, yeah.
What you want them to say. That's what they're trying to figure out. What am I looking for?
Yeah.
And it's usually when we give me, I'll say, well, here's good, a degree, right? Got a job?
Yeah.
Money?
That's it, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's a tough question for me.
Well, hopefully some of them will understand it. Maybe they did chores at home when they were growing up. You use what they say when possible in your presentation to help connect them to what you're talking about. Okay? So, you know, they may say, well, when I do work, I get paid for it. That's my wage. Absolutely. You did work, you get paid for it. And that's the answer. Wages are just payment for work you've done. Now, our illustration is super duper simple. You just say to them, hey, imagine if you went to work for somebody one day and you spent all day with them, you worked 8 hours, and they told you at the beginning they were going to pay you per hour and they were going to pay you a certain amount per hour. And imagine at the end of the day, if you worked hard for them, they only paid you for 4 hours. What kind of boss would that be? And you help them to understand that, man, that'd be a bad boss. You know, I wouldn't want to work for that boss. I wouldn't want to be around that boss. I wouldn't work for that boss again, most likely. And I'll cut to the chase with this one, okay? What are we trying to get at with this? Our point is we're helping them to understand that because of our sin, we've all earned God's displeasure, okay? We've earned it like we've earned a wage, right? And God wouldn't be just, right, if he just overlooked it and didn't pay us what we're owed. Okay? So that's kind of kind of the illustration that we're trying to use there. Again, if you have one that, works differently or better, use it, okay? Any questions? All right. And then the next one, and we're doing the same deal. So this will probably be short tonight as I go through this training. You do the same thing. Box around the word sin. You come down, you draw a box and write the word sin in it. Okay? And you'll see why here as we go and begin to draw out a bridge. And you ask them, okay, what's sin? 9 times out of 10, usually people will go to the commandments, right? And they'll say one of the commandments. Well, it's lying, it's stealing, it's murder, it's absolutely lying, stealing, murder, all the things that God says that we shouldn't do. And you help to explain to them what sin is. Sin is disobedience against God, right? And the illustration that I like to use, if you like omelets, use an omelet illustration. If you like to make cookies with eggs, use cookies, okay? Whatever you're feeling that night. But imagine you say to them, imagine you came over and spent the night with me at my home, and in the morning I was fixing you breakfast, and I said, I'm going to make you an omelet. And that you would be like, great, awesome. And what would you like in your omelet? Okay, got all the ingredients, get it ready, and you have 3 eggs that you're making, a nice big omelet. You crack 2 of them, they're perfect. You crack the 3rd one, and it's green and rotten and stinks. It smells, it's nasty, it's a bad egg. What if you were to look at them and say, well, you know what, we've got 2 really good, perfect eggs in here. Here's a 3rd one. I'm just going to put it in there, and the good eggs will make up for the bad eggs. You know, of course that person is going to say, no way, heck no, I'm not eating that omelet. It'll make me sick. And again, to cut to the chase with the illustration, the point we're trying to help them to see and understand is, when God looks at us, He doesn't, you know, grade us, some good, some bad, or mostly good, some bad. He understands that our sin, one sin, taints all of the good that we do. All the good that we have done. So we're all guilty, right? We're all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're all guilty because of our sin. And you help them to understand that that even the good things in our life that we've done because of the bad things is tainted, right? That's what we're trying to accomplish here. Any thoughts or comments, especially for my trainers? All right. And then the next word of significance is the word death. And we draw the box around the word death, again, bringing it down. And you ask, what do you think of when you think of death? Right? And of course, we've all been to funerals. We've all lost loved ones. And generally speaking, most of the time, people are going to say, well, it's that separation. I know that I'll never see that person here on the earth again. I'll never be able to be with them again. And that's hard because there's a finality to that. There's a separation that I know that I experience now because of their death. And, you know, hopefully they'll say something like that or, you know, the pain of losing someone, whatever it is, you try to incorporate it. But ultimately, the point we're getting across is that it is final separation. And it can be just that simple. You know, one of the things that's so difficult about funerals is, I know I'm never going to see that person again. I'm never going to be with them, be able to be around them and talk with them. Any other comments or thoughts? All right. So you've got the left side drawn at this point, and you've taken their information that they've given you to help explain those 3 key points, right? And then you begin to summarize the left side, and you say to them, and this is when you begin to draw the chasm. Okay, that's what we're doing there with the chasm and the 2 cliff sides. And you say, well, the just payment we have earned for our disobedience against God is final separation from Him, or something like that. Again, even here in this statement that you're making to them, incorporate what they say if you can, right? Incorporate what they say. But that's the point we're trying to get across to them is because of our sin, we've earned separation from God, a final separation from Him. We deserve it. We've earned it. And again, you draw the cliffs or the chasm there. And this is when you draw a box around the word but, and you write it at the bottom of the cliffs or the chasm, and you say, but I'm so glad God has not left us without hope. Without hope, okay? And then you begin to move to the right side, right? Into the second sentence there. And your question is, what is the difference between a gift and wages? And one of the things that I love about this presentation and the fact that you draw it out is each side sort of contradicts the other, okay? They're in opposition to one another. And so you write the word gift over here. What's the difference between gifts and wages? The point we're trying to get across to them is that wages are earned and gifts are free. In the illustration that I use to explain when a gift is no longer a gift is if you had a very, and I'm still waiting on this. Y'all can join me in praying for this because I need a car. But if I had a very wealthy friend, okay, come up to me and say, Eric, you've been such a good friend. I've loved you. And you know, God's taken care of me. I got plenty of money. And I decided to buy you a brand new car. And imagine they hand you keys to a new car. And not only a car, but it's your favorite car. Whatever car that is. Okay. Mine used to be a Lamborghini. But that'd be a little awkward as a pastor to be driving a Lambo. Yes. Maybe an SUV Lamborghini. That'd be pretty cool. Heck, I'd take anything. But, so, they hand you the keys and they say, I love you, I want you to have this gift. And imagine if you reached into your pocket and you say, oh man, I can't take this as a gift. Hey look, here's $5. At least take this $5. Now, I remember there used to be a wealthy man, used to, air quotes, that lived around here, very wealthy, and I remember him pulling out beside me at the bottom of the hill down here one time in his Lamborghini. And I quickly looked it up on my phone, and I think it was like $475,000 car that he was driving. He didn't drive that one anymore. I promise you, he's in jail. But, so imagine it was something like that, and you reach in your pocket and you try to pay him for it. Well, a couple of things. One, that would be a tremendous insult, right, to try to pay for a car with $5 and a brand new car at that. And two, he meant it or she meant it as a gift, right? And if they took the $5, it would no longer be a gift. It would be a very cheap automobile, right? And so a gift is no longer a gift when you pay for it or when you try to pay for it. What are we trying to get across there? Open to the floor. Works. That's right. A works-based theology and the notion that we can save ourselves by doing good works. We're trying to avoid that. This verse helps to explain that fully and clearly, that it's not by works that we're saved, right? It's a gift of God. So when is a gift no longer a gift? When you pay for it or when you try to pay for it. All right? Any questions? All right, good. Let's, all right, the next one is God. So we don't ask him the question. We draw a box. We write it down here. And the point that we're trying to get across to them is that, and we go to God's Word, we go to the Scripture at this point, and we say, God's Word teaches us that God is perfect. Therefore, he is the opposite of sin. Again, the two sides are contrasting one another. He's the opposite of sin. Yet, he's also loving. And he has shown us his love in giving us and offering us this gift. Okay, so that's the point where we try to get across to them when we share to them who God is, right? And in the illustration, in fact, I'm going to ask somebody out here, any of the trainers want to give the illustration, because I've been talking too much. I'm going to take a sip of my tea for God. Anybody want to give that illustration? Love to have one of y'all do it. Bob, what do you say?
I usually don't answer.
Yeah. See, and y'all, and I can honestly say this. I've been with Bob a lot of times, and he shares the Bridge to Life and does a terrific job. A lot of times he doesn't even use illustrations. But I have noticed that a lot of times you'll use stories from your life, which is so good and I think really relevant.
Any judge that would
not punish somebody for what they did wrong would not be a just judge.
That's right. That's the point you're trying to get across. Because so often we think of God like, well, God should just overlook that. Well, it's totally against his character, right? It's totally against his nature. In fact, God can't, he set up the universe where he cannot be in the presence of sin, right? And so there had to be a way, another way, and that's what we're getting at. But, you could use this illustration of a judge. And what we used to say in youth EE is, imagine you get your driver's license and you go out and you drive and you begin to stack up tickets. And I actually had this happen to me, shamefully. But when I went to Auburn out of high school, I played football, and I had to drive from where I was living over to the complex, and I'd park, obviously for practice. But Auburn was so stingy, they didn't give you any passes to be able to do that at the time. I think they've gotten better now. But they wouldn't give you any passes, and it's like, how am I supposed to do this? You know, I live miles away. So I kept getting these tickets, but I hadn't registered my car, so I thought I was smart. This was a good life lesson. I'd take the tickets, and I'd just, they're never going to, do anything. These are just campus police. My brother has since been a campus policeman. I understand that their jurisdiction is even bigger than a lot of the cities. They have lots of jurisdiction. I didn't realize that at the time. So I'd just take the tickets, and I'd throw them in the back, and I probably got 20 or 25 tickets my first fall. Well, I went, and I worked over spring break because I needed some money. I was in college. I didn't have any. And I worked really hard as a landscaper, and I made a good amount of money, I thought. And right when I get back to school to start the next semester, I get a notice in the mail. You don't get to start school until you pay these parking tickets. And I thought my car wasn't registered, so I thought I was going to get away with it. But lo and behold, I had to spend all my money that I made over spring break to pay for my parking tickets. That was a good life lesson. But the illustration you'd say to them is this. Imagine you have 100 tickets and you go before the traffic court judge and you're to say, judge, I'm so sorry. I shouldn't have done that. I realize now, after 100 tickets, I shouldn't have been doing that. I'm going to change how I do things now. Would you just overlook these tickets? Now, what kind of judge would that be? Nobody would want to have that judge serving as a judge, right? And so he'd be a very unjust judge. And again, we're trying to help folks that we share with understand that don't expect God to just overlook your sin. He can't do that. It's against his nature. And it would be very bad. We wouldn't even want our judges and our court system to do that. Okay? All right. And then the last one here is the word eternal life, the words eternal life. Again, contrasting death. So what's the opposite of death? If death is final separation, as we've already talked about, well, life is ongoing, and it starts now and extends into eternity. So that's, we ask them, what's the opposite of death? And you help them to understand that it's eternal life. Okay? Just as separation from God starts in this life and extends into eternity, eternal life starts now and extends into eternity. Okay? Any questions, thoughts? All right. Everybody feel pretty comfortable so far about if you were to go through this with someone? And let me say this. I am rambling. I'm talking a lot about each point. It just as Bob noted, when he does it, and we actually have on our website, I should have made a note on one of the sheets here, but we have Bob and Dan Allison going through the Bridge to Life presentation audibly, and it's terrific, and it probably takes 5 or 10 minutes. Okay, so this is something meant to be really quick. Yeah. Let's see. Okay, so you'd ask him the question, well, what's the opposite? What is the opposite of death? Okay, if death is final separation, then what is the opposite of that? Well, it's life, and it's eternal life. And you're trying to help them to understand that God's offering them life that extends for all eternity with Him in heaven, but it starts right here and right now by having a relationship with Him. And I think, yeah. Okay.
Can I say something?
Yeah, absolutely.
In the past, I've always made the point that death, you're talking about separation from God.
Yeah.
The eternal life, talking about eternity
with God. Yep. Amen. Yeah, emphasize that. Amen. Y'all, and this is something we'll get at later on in our teaching time, which will be very brief. So this will be the longest thing you have to suffer through, okay? Because when we come back, we'll only have like a maximum of 20 minutes. So we won't talk long and teach long. But I guess what I'm trying to say is this. It is really, really important when God gives you an opportunity to share with someone to help them to understand that they're condemned. And obviously this presentation does this on the left side, for the wages of sin is death. But y'all are making a great point that we have to help people to understand that without Christ, they are doomed. They are destined for hell and a final terminal separation from God forever. And, you know, you use judgment on how much you need to share about that. But we definitely need to share about that. Okay? Because if we understand anything from the New Testament about Jesus' teaching, He taught more about hell than He taught about heaven. Yes, sir?
Did you say, Eric, on the website, Briarwood's website, that there's a presentation?
Yes. Bob, it's an audio, yeah.
Is it easy to find it on the website?
Oh, yeah. I'll as long as everybody signs up, I'll email it to everybody. The link, you can just click on it. Like that doorbell, you can just click on it. Just kidding. No, don't mean it. It's fun.
I've been out sharing with Allison, and Allison's not here. But she's been using the word hell for a long time.
Yeah, amen. Y'all, I think the reality is that God's written that on everybody's heart. And I can honestly tell you, a major part of my testimony is the fact that before I knew anything about God, I knew there was a God, I knew there was. Before I went to church and understood that, I was afraid of hell because I was a terrible little kid. And I was really fearful that if I died, I'd go to hell. And I consider that to be a tremendous blessing because God used that for me to come to faith in Christ. And when I heard about grace, man, I jumped at that. Who wouldn't, you know? Absolutely. So I think it is important that we emphasize, that we talk about it, that we engage with people in that regard. Any other comments or thoughts, questions? Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Absolutely.
That's why this box about sin is so important.
Mm-hmm.
So that they understand that they're sinners.
That they're condemned. That we're all condemned.
We all are sinners.
And I wanted to mention this just real quick because I think it's important. If y'all will turn a couple of pages over, you'll notice I put an article in here. And this is by a gentleman named Greg Kokel. Anybody know who Greg Kokel is? He's been here. He's taught here at our church a couple of times. Yeah, he's written a great book called Tactics. Yeah, Greg. He's a great guy. I got to hang out with him, and I was his driver when he came and spoke. He was a really neat fellow. He lives out in California. But this is an article that he's written just recently, and it addresses a lot of things that we're talking about. And I just, two homework assignments that I was going to give you is, one, with someone, do the Bridge to Life. I would encourage you to do it multiple times, you know, to practice and become familiar with it. But do that with someone. And then the second homework assignment I would ask you to is to just read this article. I think you'll be encouraged. And he's also got a great website called Stand to Reason, and a great ministry as well that we would believe in here as well.
Eric, is that article on the page that says 1/6?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
And there's front and back, and there's 6 pages. Yeah, that's it. And I don't know if everybody's in here when I mentioned earlier, but the notebooks are empty other than that, and we're going to fill them in as we go. So, okay, that's why they're empty. All right, so to summarize the right side now, and I'll go back and we'll take a look at it. We've got the left and the right side. But to summarize the right side, you'd say something like this. God has provided the gift of a relationship with Him that begins now and continues eternally. All right? So the question is, how do we move from this eternal separation from God in hell to an eternal relationship with God that lasts for all eternity? And, you know, we want to have good theology. We want to teach people from good theology. We want to understand God correctly. So we help them understand that you cannot, not on your own. You cannot. But God has done for us in Christ Jesus what we could not do for ourselves. All right? So that's the right side summarized and a transition sentence and sort of the answer there. I think this is all written at the bottom of each page. So you've already got it all written out. And you don't have to say it exactly like that. Okay? I'm trying to minimize and help y'all to understand. You don't have to have anything like a robot programmed out and say it perfectly. But you do need to express these things to them to help them to understand. Okay? Any questions on this? Yes, sir. Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I always deflected. I always just said, I understand. So what I'm explaining though is that my question is, do you understand what the Bible says about how you can have eternal life? You may not believe in the God of the Bible, but do you understand?
Yeah. Yeah, you're helping them to understand that this perspective is the Bible. This is from the scriptures. Yeah.
They can decide later whether they want to kind of believe the Bible.
Yeah.
Or not. Believe in this God or not. But at least they know the truth, what it says. And sometimes we get into discussions about how do we know that He's God.
Amen. I was in Africa with Al Baker, and we were at a butcher, an open market butcher, and so there's this big slabs of meat just hanging out, flies everywhere. And we're talking to the butcher, trying to talk to the butcher about the Lord, and he begins to kind of question what we're saying about God, and Al just looked at him and said, "Look, friend, God's not on trial. He doesn't have to explain Himself to you. You've got all these questions that you're trying to answer about God. He doesn't have to explain Himself to you. I'm just trying to tell you what the Bible says about who God is and how you can have a relationship with Him." I thought that was pretty good. But absolutely, I mean, we can sort of steal a page from the Jehovah's Witnesses. I'm sure they weren't the first to say this, but you could say to them, "Look, listen to what I'm telling you about what the Bible teaches about God. right? And then maybe pray and say, God, if you're real, would you help me to understand this and believe it to be true? And, you know, you could take them in that, you know, down that trail as well. Yes, sir. Yeah. Amen. Wow. You know, and that's the reality. And at the end of the day, I hope it's abundantly clear. I hadn't said this yet, but if we believe in the scriptures, what they teach is that God is the one that does the work in somebody's heart. Right? Ephesians 2 says we're dead in our sins and trespasses. We're dead and separated from God. And as Pastor Reeder says, it's not like you're just dead. It's like you're dead on the bottom of the ocean with a 10,000-pound boulder on your chest. You can't do anything until God regenerates your heart and gives you a new heart and calls you, effectually calls you. So, and we're going to talk about that. I've given that assignment to Olin Stubbs. He's going to talk about what we call the Ordo Salutis, the order of salvation. He'll talk about that later. But yeah, I mean, the reality is that God is the one who impresses upon somebody's heart and takes somebody that has crazy, you know, man-made beliefs and impresses upon them that, hey, this is true. What you were thinking was true before isn't true, but this is true. You know, the Lord does that, and His Spirit does it in people's hearts. So, yes, sir.
I was just going to say, and speaking to what you're saying, there's nothing that you will ever be able to say to convince somebody that God exists, but the God of the Bible is the true God. But in God, I'm not here saying God does the saving. I know you know this, but God does the saving, and so we're just vessels, and we're just allowing ourselves to be used by God, and God can do what God will do. And that may be the first time they hear it. I'm always thinking Kareem.
No. It's a wild name, though.
Well, he, I don't want to get too far off in it, but he was a gentleman from Syria. And he wrote a book, Paul and Me. But I met him doing evangelism, and he lived in Dr. Walker's house. He lived in Dr. Walker's house for a little bit. And if you read Dr. Walker's book, this is in there, too, but he was, I never bring up to tell him a story with all these people, but and you'll have to fact check me, but basically, he came to America. I think he was going to the University of Tennessee, him and his wife, and at some point, Dr. Barker was in the Anchorage restaurant in Humboldt, and
nobody knows Cream.
So he came in, and let me back up a second. First of all, he was a photographer or something for the Birmingham News, had an aneurysm, was in the hospital, had to relearn how to do everything, and the doctor said, you need to find out why God saved you, or no, he said, you need to find out why you're still here. That's obvious, but, so he went on this search, and at some point, he was taken to meet Dr. Barker at the Anchorage, and of course, Dr. Barker shared the gospel with him, and he said, what about my family? And he said, your family is in God's hands. He didn't like that, you know, at the time, and he continued his pursuit. And eventually, at some point, he was saved, you know. And somehow, he made it back to Birmingham, and he was here probably sitting at a table, probably somewhere around here. And somebody said, hey, are you having a good time? And he said, yeah, I would just really like to see Dr. Barker. I said, well, he's sitting right behind you. and so he turned around, and he said, Dr. Barker, you know, I met you 10 years ago, and he told me the only way to heaven is through Jesus Christ. And Dr. Barker said, and he said, I accept the Christ as my Savior. Dr. Barker said, here's my number, let's go to lunch and everything.
Wow.
So, anyways, I've actually been with Dr. Barker and him and people living in Birmingham, and he's giving his testimony.
Powerful.
That's incredible. He didn't like what Dr. Walker had to say the first time, but God's doing the work. You know,
mm-hmm.
If you go out and you get somebody that you're fortunate enough to share the gospel with somebody, I just rejoice in that because God knows it. So,
amen. Amen.
So like, you're never going to convince anybody.
That's right. That's right. And that's not our responsibility, clearly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That ain't arguing anybody's way to do.
Mm-hmm.
I think Paul Goldman, that's what he said. I remember years ago going out to UAB with him and said, we're not looking to argue anybody. We're looking for people with Jesus.
Amen. 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 We want to win the war, not the battle, right?
Looking for the elect.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what we used to always say with EE is God's looking in, for us, in regard to us, for fat people, fat, faithful, available, and teachable. I mean, this is a work that's, when we go out and share, it's our work to show that we love God and we want to honor Him by doing what He's called us to do, right? And then if He chooses to use the words that we say, that's a work of His Spirit, you know, and He receives all the glory. It's not us, clearly. It's not Dr. Barker. He would say that.
I think it's also good to know that because it's like, the Spirit rejected.
Yeah. Yeah.
Christ.
Yep.
You know, it just takes up all the weight of like, okay, like why is it? It's all on me. It's my, you know, why nobody comes to me. And
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. It's just like, because like, you know, it just takes up all.
Takes all the pressure off for sure. Amen. Amen. All right, let's finish up. I'm sorry. This is a great comment, so thank you all. Almost done. So we're down to the last line on the verse, and draw the box around Christ Jesus, and this is when you would draw the cross in the middle to bridge the chasm, to bridge the canyon, the cliffs, and you'd say to him, who is Jesus Christ, or who is Christ Jesus? And, you know, you can either ask him that question, or you can explain to them that Christ Jesus is the Son of God. And that God the Father sent His Son, Jesus, and paid Him the wages of death that we deserve for our disobedience when He died on the cross. Obviously, we want to bring in the resurrection as well. Jesus isn't dead. He's not in, you know, His bones aren't somewhere. He rose from the dead to prove that He conquered death and He had victory over our sin and over our separation from God. Right? And so, the illustration that we talk about here is a law court judge again, and that the judge finds the person like me with all my tickets guilty, because that's what a judge does. If there's evidence that somebody's guilty, he finds them guilty, right? And yet this judge, Christ, God, stepped down to pay the fine on our behalf, right? And not only that, but he puts his robe around us, and we now have all that the judge had, in a sense. Okay? So, we're justly permitted to go free. Christ pays the penalty for our sins. You get those points across to them. That's your goal at this point in talking about Christ Jesus and who He was. You can get, obviously, down into the weeds about that, or, you know, just however the Spirit leads in that regard as well. But you want to talk to them about who Christ is. Any thoughts on that real quickly? Any thoughts? All right. So your transition is, so how does Jesus' death become the payment for our disobedience? Well, and then I believe this to be incredibly important. Okay. You can find, if you go on the internet tonight and you type in Lordship Salvation, you can find a whole bunch of people that are so far against it that they can't stand it, because in many cases, people think that this is a way that we do a work by trusting in Him to be Lord. And it's not, right? He is Lord whether we want to acknowledge it or not. He's Lord. And for somebody to genuinely, truly be saved, I believe that they have to surrender to His Lordship, right? Right? And that's, you could also call that new birth or new life in Christ, but there's Lordship. And Jesus is Lord. That's His title, right? It's not something we make of Him. That's who He is. And when He comes into your life, He's Lord of your life. Okay? And so, and I've even gotten into this with some of the track publishers, because you'll find that a lot of the tracks, and all the tracks that we get here, and I need to order some more because we're out, but a lot of them won't talk about at all about Lordship. It just talks about belief. Okay? And I just think that's bad theology. Right? If Jesus isn't Lord of your life, He's not Lord at all. Okay? And you can't, because there is, again, not to get into the weeds, but there is this teaching that some people can hear the gospel and they can pray a prayer, ask for forgiveness, and they go to heaven. And then some people pray a prayer and surrender to Him to be Lord and they become disciples. And that both sets of people are going to heaven. And I just don't think that's not true. You know, there's no sanctification in that. There's none of that. It's bad theology. Yeah, Jesus commanded them to do that, right, and to follow Him. So the answer is when He becomes Lord, right? And so what is a Lord? Well, Lord means, and that's the last word, you know, here, my point won't work, but in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so first we'll write Christ Jesus, and then you write Lord, His title on top of that. And what is a Lord? Well, Lord means ruler over all things. Jesus becomes our Lord when we submit to Him. When Jesus is our Lord, His death becomes the payment for our disobedience. I'll do this as quickly as possible, but in my life, y'all remember I feared hell, and then I began to hear about Christ. I began to hear the gospel, and one Sunday I was at Shades Mountain Independent Church. Y'all remember SMI and Dr. Dick Vigneault? And I was there, he was preaching, I heard the gospel, and I asked Christ to forgive me of my sins. Okay? And I zoned out at that point. Okay? And I would have thought that I was a Christian, but I really wasn't sure. And so my whole freshman year later of high school, if I was around a certain group of people, I would have said I was a Christian. If I was around another group of people, I certainly didn't act like a Christian. And the reality was, I didn't surrender to Christ to be Lord of my life. Okay? And so, long story short, right down in the area where we go a lot to share our faith, I was down near the fountains at Five Points and got into a big fight with a bunch of guys. And I got arrested as a freshman in high school. And like moments earlier, I was talking to a couple of people about being involved in Student Stampede, the youth ministry that I was involved in. And so I was really a chameleon, you know. I really wasn't a believer. If I was with this group, I was acting this way. If I was with that group, I was acting another way. So I got arrested, and they put me in a paddy wagon where I had to sit until 3 o'clock in the morning. They took me down to juvenile detention. But as I was sitting in that paddy wagon, God did an awesome thing, something I knew that I needed to do and was resisting. And that was submitting to Christ to be Lord of my life. And I just sat there in the quiet of my heart as the guy that I'd just gotten in a fight with was cussing at me. I sat there and I just talked to God. I said, God, I'm making a mess of my life. And that's it. I don't even want to try to be in control anymore. Will you please come in and be Lord of my life? And I did that. In my heart, I prayed that prayer. And of course, you know, none of us, you know, we're not perfect until we go to glory. But God began to do a real work in my life and began to change me in dramatic ways. And I began to stand for Him and follow Him because of that surrendering to His Lordship. So a Lord means ruler over all things. Jesus becomes our Lord when we submit to Him. When Jesus is our Lord, his death becomes the payment for our disobedience. And here are some verses that deal with lordship. So how do we submit to Jesus? Well, and that's when you draw this cool little stick man and you take them through confessing and surrendering. And so the first point, you say, I confess that I have earned separation from God because of my disobedience against him, and there's nothing I can do to change my situation. There's nothing I personally can do on my own to change my situation, right? And then you say to them, but I can confess to God that I'm a sinner and I need his salvation. And then you turn to the next word of significance as you cross over the bridge by way of the cross. And you say, I surrender to Jesus as my Lord. I trust in his death alone as the payment for my disobedience so that I can receive the gift of eternal life through a relationship with him that starts now and extends into eternity. So it's that confessing and surrendering, right? So when does a gift become a gift? When you receive it. That's the thing, y'all. Here's the reality. And Pastor Reeder preached on this, and I used to look at it incorrectly. You know where the Bible talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth for those that are in hell? The only time I've ever gnashed my teeth is when I've been angry at something. And you've grinded my teeth. And that's what's happening. People that are in hell, and I'm not trying to talk negatively about that situation, but they hate God. Right? They hate God. And they're angry. And they don't want any part of God. They certainly don't want any part of surrendering to him. And so God's offering this gift of eternal life that you and I get to go and tell people about and extend it to them. And so we need to be praying that God would soften their hearts, remove their heart of stone, and give them a tender, soft heart, right, when he does that, and that they would surrender to Christ as their Lord and Savior. So it's when you receive it. And when he extends that gift, they can receive it. Okay?
Can you go back to the blessed line, that blessed where it says, I surrender. That puts it all in here, right?
Mm-hmm.
You surrender and trust in his
name. Mm-hmm. Amen.
So you put faith and surrender right there.
Mm-hmm. That's it. All right, so just by way of clarification, so when a person confesses and surrenders, he or she crosses over from separation from God for eternity to a relationship with him for eternity that starts now here in this life and extends into eternal life. And all of this is actually written on the back of your trifold. So, but, you know, when I have the privilege to lead somebody in a prayer, I just say to them, because I want to make it clear to them, this is not, you know, Bugs Bunny, hocus pocus. You know, this isn't a magic act that if they say these words, they're saved. No, it's just sharing with God what they're believing in, what they're trusting in. You know, Dr. Barker used to say, I didn't even say a prayer at all. He said, I just shifted from trusting in myself to save me to trusting in Christ alone to be my Savior. And that's the reality. It's an attitude of our heart expressed through our prayer. And this is a prayer that you can lead them in. Okay. And then here's something that I want to make sure that we emphasize in every lesson that we do this fall. We want to make sure that when we have the opportunity to lead somebody to Christ, that we really seek to follow up with them. And best case scenario, we seek to disciple them, right? We seek to do whatever it takes. Now, if I'm sharing with a young lady, I'm not going to disciple her, but I want to find somebody that can, right? And that's the difference because we're called to make disciples, right? We're not just called to make converts. We're called to make disciples. And so I really want to encourage each of us when we have the opportunity to share with someone, and if somebody prays, even if they don't pray, but they're open to talk more with you about that, put yourself out there. Let's put ourselves out there and make ourselves available to them, however we can, to help them and follow up, you know, and to help them to learn more about Christ or to grow in their new faith. Does that make sense? All right, so that's it in a nutshell. That's the Bridge to Life drawn out. Like I said, literally it takes 5 minutes to do when you're with someone or more, depending on how long they want to engage with you. But that's it. And then having a follow-up plan. Okay? Any questions? We're really done at this point. But any closing questions or remarks?
I'm just curious, I know about Bridge to Life, and I learned about Bridge to Life, and I did it from my grandpa, who was in the hospital with that. Really communicated, but I kept trying it over and over.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think it has a lot to do with how we look at it. One, I mean, are we the one? Yeah, I mean, I think are we the ones that are first talking to somebody for the first time with them about Christ and about the gospel? Or maybe we're the 10th person and the one that God's prepared them to make that commitment with. We don't know that. And quite frankly, it doesn't matter. I mean, we're just being faithful on our end to do what God's called us to do, to be, you know, one of the pieces of the Ordo Salutis, the golden chain of salvation. We get to be part of the chain that God uses to draw somebody to himself. And so I wouldn't worry too much about that. I'd say be faithful, you know, and do your best and trust the Lord for the results. I can say this. When I went down to Miami for 4 days and I did youth evangelism explosion training, and it was probably one of the most stressful times of my life because I had to memorize all this and come back prepared to teach it to our students. And I was struggling to learn it all. And one day we went to the park and we went with these teenagers. I mean, they were like, the kid was like 14, and I was so arrogant in my mind. I thought, oh, this is going to be miserable. And so they drop us off at a park. I think I drove, and it was me and another person that was a trainee and this young man that was the trainer. And I'm just like, oh Lord, please, this is going to be miserable. This kid doesn't, you know, he's so young. He didn't know what he's doing, I'm sure. And so we walk up to somebody that's sitting on a, you know, picnic blanket, an older man in his 40s with his children, or probably his 30s with his young children. And he begins to engage with this gentleman. And I'm like, Lord, please just, I'm like praying a prayer of pity for this guy. You know, like, Lord, help him not to be too discouraged. This guy's going to tell him to go away, and it's just going to be awkward. Well, a few minutes later, as the adult man is praying to receive Christ with us, I'm blown away because this young man does such a great job. It, you know, at the end of the day, it didn't really matter. I mean, God divinely was at that appointment working in that man's heart and preparing him to trust in Christ. So let's just be faithful. Let's go out and do it. And,
this is the, not the outreach ministry of our work.
Yeah. Yeah. But hopefully each of us will gain a perspective where we'll do that in our lives, and we will see people. Amen. Or a family member or somebody you have a relationship with. Yeah.
We do try to make it personal, though. When we first meet them, we ask them if you present a survey, we ask them if they'd be willing to answer questions on the survey, and they say yes, and we introduce ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And we ask who they are. We write their name down, and
yeah.
So we speak to them first person, and after that.
Yeah, I guess I can clarify my question with more of like, during this time, how much you spend on actually getting to know the person.
Yeah.
When we end, we ask anything that, you know, that's a connection with the church if they want to. We try to follow up, don't we?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, amen. And that's what we hope to do. I mean, is hopefully develop a relationship that will extend to another opportunity to be with them, you know, another opportunity to engage with them. And, but, yeah. And tell me, is Etsy?
Esty.
Esty, I can't say it. But Esty and her husband is one of the pastoral interns here, Joel. And, Esty is from Hungary, and she's here with her husband in the training. He's been to Westminster Seminary and is now, but he's scared to go do evangelism, but Esty is not, but she's going to. No. I just mentioned Esty because her and Joel and their family, Lord willing, after all said and done and he gets ordained, and plan to go back to Hungary and do ministry there and lead people to Christ and build the church there. And so, amen. Amen.
Amen. And you let off the Sunday night services.
Yes.
Oh, they're going to enjoy Sunday.
Yes. Awesome. Okay, Al.
To follow up on what Jim was saying, didn't you say that we can refer people to Bob Parks?
Yes.
Program that he has?
Yes,
so
absolutely.
The way we will help them.
Yes.
To follow them.
Yes.
And equip them.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah. Christianity Explored. So thank you all, and we're almost done. Sorry. But we have another evangelism ministry going on with Bobby Parks in G101, if you know where that is, called Christianity Explored. And so we'll even have some cards to hand out to people, too, if they want to know more. And what Christianity Explored does is it takes them through the book of Mark, and they get to come to dinner each night, and we provide dinner for them, pay for it. They go through the book of Mark and watch a video. And so that hopefully develops a sort of an ongoing relationship with them. That's another option that we can point people to. I always give them my cell phone number and say, please call and connect with me at the church. Amen. Well, it's almost 8. I wanted to condition y'all for when we actually get out of here at 8. No, I'm just kidding. But thank y'all for hanging in there on a long night of teaching. It won't be long in the weeks to come, but y'all, please make sure we get your name and contact information so we can, and Lord willing, y'all will come back, and we'll go out next week, right at the beginning. We'll come back and have just a really short lesson, but thank y'all for being here. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer. Father, we love you. Thank you so much for our time to be reminded of what you have done for us, Lord Jesus, and how when we were lost and dead in our sins and trespasses because of the disobedience that we've done, Lord, and the separation that we have made. Lord, you sent your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross to pay the penalty for our sin. And you rose again, Lord Jesus. And thank you for your victory over death and for your victory over our sin. And God, I just pray that ultimately we would just be excited to tell people, because this gift doesn't run out. It doesn't get depleted. It maintains a full 100% in our lives just as readily as it would maintain that in somebody else's that we're sharing. And so what a privilege, what a gift, what a blessing. Use us, Lord. Use us even before we come back next week to talk to people about you. And thank you for what you're going to do in and through our time together this fall. And I pray all this in Christ's name. Amen.